Hey, hello there, folks. It's Susan Baracco here with you today. I'm logged in as Ed, so that's why you see his little face up there in the circle, but I am here today. Ed is actually traveling, so I'm covering our call today. So great to see you folks. I see people jumping on here. And we are going to get started here. I have, hopefully you can see the slide deck and that you can see that first slide just for fun. Would love to have you share in the chat. Let me see what you have for your weapon of choice in the morning to kind of get you jump started. Are you a teetotaler? Are you a coffee person? Or is there some other kind of fun thing that that you like to have to start your day? So great to have you guys here. Jennifer, yay, glad you're here. It's really glad that you're getting back on track after some of your challenges recently. I know Jim is here. Great. Joanne, I see Randy has joined us. Welcome. And then I see SKP, not sure. SKP, just type in the chat. Let me know who that is because I don't see who that is. I'm not sure who that is as far as your first name, just so I know who you are. That would be great. That would be great. Susan, great. All right. Thanks, Susan, for sharing that. So it looks like coffee is the weapon of choice. I actually gave up coffee about a year and a half ago, gave up caffeine in particular. And it was a challenge, but once I got through it, it's turned out to be pretty good. So I drink a lot of tea these days, but good. Just something for fun to get us started today. We've got a good group here. So thank you all for taking time to be here. I am going to advance us to the next slide. And what I would love to see in the chat is for you to share with a W if you have a win since the last time we spoke. Put a W and a, and then let us know what your win has been for in the last week or so, if there's anything. And it can be even really super small. So don't worry that it's, if it's something simple like you sent out a couple of emails, I'd love to hear about it. So please share with us in the chat what you've had for a win. And that could be anything. And I see Kaiser Copywriting. Can you just type in, you just made a comment, but could you just type in your first name so I know who that is? Because I'm not sure who that is. There you go. Thank you. That's Susan. Okay. KP. Approved outline on a pro bono short ebook project. Oh, that's exciting. Short ebook. That's a great first project. Ebooks are very popular and good for you. I'll be keep us posted in the Facebook page on how that comes along. And certainly don't hesitate to post questions if you need any support or help or feedback about how that's going to come together for you. So good luck with that. That's exciting. And Randy, getting back on the B2B horse after a month of being caught in family relations spiderweb, 3 out of state trips. Ugh. Boy, oh boy, I spend a great deal of time driving as well for family situations, and it can really get you off track. So good for you for being back and posting that as a win. So thanks for sharing that. And Jennifer, as Jennifer's win for today, a real life understanding of why Ed says ready, fire, aim. A talk with a prospect made me rethink my positioning. Great. Well, that's interesting. And Jennifer, if we have time and you have questions about that, I'd love to maybe later in the call we can kind of walk through some of that, what you're thinking is. I'd love to hear about that and maybe share with the rest of the group what's causing that, and then, you know, where you're headed. Jim said, I submitted 2 spec assignments and an article and a blog. Good for you. Good for you. Day at a time, small steps, it's okay. Yeah, anything that you do to move yourself forward is great. And then Susan says, looks like we have multiple Susans in the group. I go by Kathy. I'll go by Kathy to avoid confusion. Yes, we have lots of Susans today for some reason, but that's okay. So, and Nanette has joined us. Welcome. Glad you're here. Haven't seen you in a bit, so glad you're on the call today. If you have a win you want to share with us, just type in W in the chat and let me know. But it sounds like you guys have got some good things going on. And Nanette from Thousand Oaks. Ooh, hope everything's okay out in your part of the world. It's been a rough couple of weeks out there watching all that. All those fires. Fires and lots of rough things going on in California these days. So we're Kathy, I think, right? Let me see. Actually, Randy just said reviewed Ed's interview with Adria and jumping on the warm email path. Good for you. I have to say that the podcasts and the interviews that Ed does are really so fascinating, because it's with a lot of times he's interviewing and talking to people just like you that, you know, maybe just only a few months ago or, you know, in just a short time ago got started. And he loves to bring in people that, you know, that have had good wins and really have figured out maybe a unique way to tackle certain things. So good for you for listening to that. And yeah, if you have the time and you can find the time to listen to those, they're definitely worthwhile. And his interview style is terrific. You know, he does a great job with getting to the meat of the matter and really getting some value out of the guest. So, and so Kathy, not quite a win, but after several months of putting the writing business aside, I'm ready to get back to it. This is my first time on the call since June. Wow. Well, welcome back. You know, this is it's a process, isn't it? And sometimes we get sidetracked for lots of different reasons, but so great to have you back. And definitely same thing. I encourage you, if you have maybe a question about, you know, what to tackle first, or, you know, your anything at all, you know, when we get to the question part of the call, definitely type something in and would love to hear from you. Let me see who else has joined us. Jim, Joanne, I think we're good. Well, let's move on to the next topic and typing an I in the chat area. I would love to hear what material you're implementing in the program right now. What is your focus? Whether it's a session or if it's from one of the sessions, whether it's, you know, something that's, whatever it is that you're working on right now that you're implementing. Let us know. Susan W., you're building a pitch list. Good for you. Takes a little bit of time to pull that together, but definitely worth it. And I think Ed even suggests like 10, you know, sending out 10 emails at a time, something like that. You know, even if you build your list a small chunk at a time, I think it's a good way to do it. All right. And anybody else implementing anything in particular? Would love to hear about it. Jennifer says, I'm getting back to prospecting, session 5, not wanting to be a delay fish, but I think I feel more comfortable prospecting by simultaneously doing homework from session 6. Good for you. Randy says, warm emails, primarily on LinkedIn. Very interesting. Be interested in hearing how that goes. If we have time, Randy, I may bring you on and have you share with us a little bit about what that looks like for you. Jim says warm emails to key prospects. Good for you. And then Nanette says fine-tuning LinkedIn profile to add more value. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going to dive into questions. What I'd love for you folks to do is type in a question, starting with a Q, so I know that that's what it is when I'm looking at it in the chat. Keep your question focused and specific. One question per person, and if we have time, I can always come circle back around. And if applicable, tell me what you're already thinking about. What are you considering doing? How are you considering tackling your question? I have one question that was pre-submitted from John Reeling, and I hope I'm saying your last name properly, John. I don't believe he is on the call. He said he wasn't sure. He was traveling today and didn't think he'd be able to make it. But he's a really great question about LinkedIn. And John says, my LinkedIn profile portrays me in a current professional life. I am still working at that, a project/program manager. However, how do I portray that I am also a copywriter, of course, in the same field, in addition to my current activities? So great question. And I love LinkedIn. So I love answering LinkedIn questions. And this is a good one. It depends on the environment that you're in terms of work. And so many of you come into this program hanging on to and keeping your full-time work while building this writing business on the side and kind of doing it together. So many of you, I think this would apply to a lot of you on the phone or anyone listening to the recording of today's call. And so it's always a balance. And I think that it depends on, as I mentioned, the environment. So if your company absolutely cannot know that you're working on a side gig, that's a different circumstance than if it's okay for them to know that you are starting a side gig. And so what I would recommend to John and anyone else is if your company cannot know, if you really don't want them to know that you're doing this, then you're a little more limited, as you might imagine. One thing I was thinking about as I was thinking about this question is that for the most part, I don't think that your boss or anyone else would be looking at your profile on LinkedIn all that often. So it would probably be safe to add your freelance writing business as an experience under your work experience. So add it in as a current job and put some keywords in there that will help people to find you, as well as help the search engines to find you. So you might want to make sure that you use the word freelance and copywriter. You might want to use white papers or marketing materials or whatever it is that you're focusing on, the types of services that you're offering. If you feel comfortable doing that, go ahead and do that. If that's too much and you feel like you really don't even want it to be on your LinkedIn profile at all, the only thing that I would recommend for you is to basically still use LinkedIn for prospecting, reach out, make connections, and keep using LinkedIn as the discovery tool that it is to find out who's out there, who should I be connecting with, because no one at your company is going to be able to see that activity. So that activity is only visible to you because it's your own personal account. So you still can use the tool, and I would encourage you to use the tool to reach out and connect with people. So it may be a little more difficult because you can't put too much information on your profile itself, but it's still something that you want to use to find the right people to connect with. If you're have a little more flexibility and your company is open to you having a side gig, then definitely add it as another work experience and put it as a current work experience. Same thing, adding your keywords there, but I would also add it to up above in two places to your headline. You can customize your headline, so you want to have both of your titles, your current working titles, whatever your job is, plus copywriter for whatever industry. And then you also may want to make mention of it in the summary section, which is just below your headline. And you might want to start with, here's my primary role, here's what I do at ABC company, but then here's my freelance, these are some details about my freelance writing work as well. So, you know, it really is a call that only you can make in terms of, you know, how open you can be with that, but don't neglect using LinkedIn, even if your company can't know anything about your work, your side endeavors, still use it as a prospecting tool because it's just super powerful. So hope that answers your question. And the only thing I would strongly urge against, and this came to me as I was thinking about answering this question, is resist the temptation to create a second profile. This causes more confusion than it's worth. So I often go into LinkedIn and I type in a name and I see it. I did this just the other day. I was looking for someone and this person actually had three profiles and none of them had very many connections. None of them had a picture. It was just, and I really wasn't sure what to do. So that's just going to create confusion. And it might even be easier for your company or someone at your company to figure out that it's you and that you're trying to do this on the side. So that would be my one caveat there is don't create a second profile. Make sure that you only have one. It is possible to merge profiles on LinkedIn if you absolutely have to. So if you've made that mistake, you already have two profiles, there is a way. And if you go into LinkedIn and you do some searching on how to merge, you should be able to figure it out. So, but just I wouldn't go in that direction. Keep it with just one profile so that people can find you. So John, good luck with that. If you have more questions, certainly when you do have a minute and you're not working or on the road, feel free to post questions in the Facebook group if you need any more support on that. Awesome. I am going to go down the line here and I'm looking at the first question that I have is from Kathy. I've been editing, writing letters, flyers, brochures, reports for people, in quotes, forever, but it's always been me just sitting at their computer doing the work or making notes on hard copy. What's the back and forth process look like when you're working for someone remotely? I've heard of things like Google Docs, but I'm wondering if that's the norm or if something else works better. I'm totally comfortable with the marketing, prospecting, and all of that part of this business, but for some reason, I'm totally stuck on this process issue. That's a great question because it is something that is, guess what? Every one of you is going to deal with it. So, Kathy, I am going to find you on here if I can and bring you on. Let me just make sure I have going to unmute you. And are you there?
I am here. I have to warn you up front. I'm just getting over a cold. So, if I start coughing, I'll try to avoid doing it directly into the microphone.
No worries. So happy to have you here. Great question, because this is a very basic question that everyone on the call is going to need to figure out. If you haven't gotten a client yet and you haven't started working with someone, how do you do that? How exactly do you do that? So tell me a little bit about your experience with Google Docs. I think we'll start there. I mean, are you comfortable with that tool?
Okay, well, I have no experience with Google Docs. I literally have heard of it. I used to be a writer, editor, professionally, but then I retired to be a stay-at-home mom. And for 25 plus years, I've been out of the job market. I have worked a couple of little part-time jobs and in those jobs and just over the years with friends and family, you know, I've always ended up doing the editing, the writing, but like I said in my text message there is that I just would literally sit in front of their computer. So right. I have not done this professionally for over 25 years and things have changed since, in the past couple decades.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's a couple different ways to do it. Google Docs is wonderful, honestly, because it doesn't cost anything. And most people are comfortable with Google Docs, and it makes it wonderful because you're not passing the piece of paper, so to speak, back and forth. So it sits out there in the cloud, you create it, and then you give your client access. You invite them to view. You can have them just have viewing access so that all they can do is look at it. You can invite them with editing access, full editing, so that they could actually go in and edit. I use Google Docs and I love it because it's just that easy. I can, the other thing I love is that I can go in instead of just, of editing, I can even put in comments. So if a client of mine, I do a lot of editing. A lot of manuscript editing. So I'll have my client upload that manuscript and then I go through and I just comment. I say, I'm not quite clear. I make a, and it shows up in the sideline and then that, like in the sidebar, and then the client can actually respond or clear it and fix it. And so it's just and the document just stays in the same place, but we both can see it. And actually, the other thing that's kind of cool is sometimes I do this. If I'm on a call with a client, I have them log in and I can watch them type. They can watch me type. We can actually live edit the document together.
Oh, nice.
Which is a super, super duper plus. It's in my mind. So Google Docs, I think, again, it's free. and it's generally available. Most people can figure it out. It's very, very simple. It works just like Word documents, which, you know, like Microsoft Word, pretty much works the same way. I love that tool. It's very, very cool. So, and that makes it easy. The other option, if you're more comfortable or if the client's more comfortable with using Word docs, would be to find some kind of an exchange portal like a Dropbox. Are you familiar with Dropbox?
I have heard of that too.
Yeah. So that, I believe you can start off with that for free as well. And I think that you do a one-time annual cost if you want more storage space, mm-hmm. Or want more capability. But what it does is Dropbox, you do the same thing, but with Dropbox, it allows you to put anything into it. You can put in images, slides, you know, any kind of document or any kind of anything really into the Dropbox. It's like a big folder. And then you, again, invite whoever you want. You would invite your client to have access to everything in that folder. So you don't actually edit right there. So I would take the document, edit it, save it back to Dropbox, same thing. So it's a slightly different tool. It works a little bit differently. What I would recommend for you is to try Google Docs for yourself, mm-hmm. and maybe find a friend and say, look, I want to experiment. Practice. Will you help me? Because I'm a big fan of that. Like, yeah. I don't want to look like I have no idea what I'm doing. So find someone to help, invite them to a document, play with it, you know, while you're on the phone together, kind of figure it out. And that way you can see how it works. And that way you'll have a better sense of how that tool works. But that's where I would start, only because it's free. And it is generally, most of the time, people know how to use Google Docs. Mm-hmm.
I had a client, and he just gave me access to, I was editing his website. And so he just gave me access to his WordPress account. And it's just so cumbersome to work with it. And so I just copied and pasted, copied the documents that he wanted me to edit. And I just worked on them outside of WordPress, thinking that I could then just copy and paste the new content back into it. And it didn't work that way. WordPress is very cumbersome. And I was like,
oh, really?
And I don't want to have to learn how to do the coding and, all the WordPress secret languages and stuff.
I know.
It would be nice if I could do that, but to start off with, that's not what I want to do.
No, I don't blame you. Don't blame you. No, that's, and I don't have, I personally don't have a lot of experience with WordPress, but same thing. I've tried working with it a few times, and it's a little much to learn personally. I'm fairly techie. I'm fairly comfortable with technology, but it was a challenge. So mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right. Well, I hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right.
Wait a minute. Do you know, like, Google, I would imagine there's like tutorials or something for it.
Yes. Yep. Just go online and type in Google Docs and see what comes up. It's pretty self-explanatory. I think you'll be able to set it up pretty easily. So
great. All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck with that client.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on. I see Joanne says, I didn't think LinkedIn allowed more than one profile. So one of the things, Joanne, about LinkedIn is that it has changed a lot. So today, that might be the case, but back before, like before Microsoft took over, you could definitely have more than one. So I don't know if that has changed in the last, however many, I think Microsoft's been, a year and a half, maybe 2 years, something like that they've owned LinkedIn. So that could have changed, but I have seen, and that search that I was mentioning, I did find three different profiles that all the titles and the employment was the same. So this was one woman with three different profiles. So, and I wasn't sure which one was the most active. So they're still out there. They may limit that to moving forward, which would be a really smart thing on their part. So I hope they don't allow that anymore. All right, I'm going to move on. Our next question is from Randy. And Randy says, any suggestions on a creative way to make local cold connections with graphic artists or creative directors or marketing agencies? One potential I have is a local happy hour meet and greet event. All right. So Randy, let me find you. And I'm going to bring you on here, and I'd love to just hear a little bit about that. Are you there, Randy?
I am here.
Hello there.
Hello. Yeah, I've gone to a couple of these events in the past, and it seems, well, unproductive at the moment, but, you know, a good way to get business cards out there and potentially sometime in the future have a callback. But I don't know that it's really an area to meet those graphic artists.
So are you, you said you've been to this event a couple of times already?
Yeah, they move around to different restaurants and different bars. And,
oh, that's kind of interesting.
So between West Palm and Fort Lauderdale.
Gotcha. Have you found that graphic artists and marketing agencies and these folks are in attendance, or is there not really that many of them there? What's your...
Not in particular so far.
Not particular. Okay.
It's kind of a shot in the wild to do that, but it really doesn't cost anything. So.
No, true. Well, you
Other
know,
time.
Exactly, which you have to be careful about too. Definitely. I think with graphic artists, creative directors, marketing agencies, I'm not sure creative directors spend a lot of time at networking events, but what you might do is just search for these kinds of folks within your area. So whether you use LinkedIn, whether you just go on Google, however you want to do that, and see who's doing that. Sometimes if you go to LinkedIn, you might find, or even like a graphic artist, you might even look on Facebook, look for groups that have marketing agencies on both of those platforms. Both Facebook and LinkedIn have groups that are often closed, but you can ask to be accepted, ask to be, you know, to have access. That would be a good way to start looking for and finding people. And I just do some querying, honestly, on Google or whatever search platform that you prefer, and just start looking for graphic artists in whatever town or city. Same thing with marketing agencies, and start just finding them, and then maybe go to LinkedIn and see, okay, who's out there, and start pulling that together and reaching out and saying, hey, you know, I'd love to connect with you. Like graphic artists in particular, they're always looking for good, they're always looking to partner. So I think they'd be really open to that type of thing. You know, look for ones that do web design, and you know, and help small businesses with web design if that's something that you're focused on. But I would find them maybe on Google first, and then take those names over to LinkedIn and start doing your research and connecting with people that way. 'Cause it's tough to do that. 'Cause networking events are very hit or miss, really, really are. And especially if you're looking for a specific kind of a person. The other thing that you might look for, that occurs to me is there a local chapter of, American Marketing Association or something like that? There's a couple of different, nationwide organizations for marketers, that you might look to see if there's a local chapter. That would make much more sense to me for you to go into that type of an environment. Watch for events in your area that are marketing focused too. So sometimes they'll have, oh my gosh, there's a couple of them down in, like I'm not too far from the Boston area. So there's a lot going on in the Boston area for those types of marketing based events, whether it's an expo, whether it's a conference, that kind of stuff. I'd kind of maybe look more in that direction, because they're going to have the kind of people you're looking to connect with. I think that might be a better
idea.
Route. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, you want to go specifically for where that you know they'll probably be hanging out. So
that's the issue with those networking events. It's just
yeah.
All over the place. So.
Very hit or miss. Very much so. So
thank you.
Great. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Hope that's helpful for you guys. Jennifer has a comment about Dropbox that she said there's a tool that she hasn't tried yet other than to do the demo that lets teams edit and comment on files and build projects. I didn't realize that. That's interesting. I don't know how popular it is. It seems in my limited experience, if everyone uses Google Docs, WordPress does have a new editor coming out that may make things easier. Also, if you're pasting from Word into WordPress, it makes a mess. It sounds like Kathy found that out. If you Google paste from Word to WordPress, you should find some info about how to make it work. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jennifer, for sharing that information. We appreciate it. All right. And Jennifer's just got all kinds of wisdom today. She also says that Randy, you could try the monthly Freelancers Union Spark event if there's one in your area first Wednesday. So yeah, there's, you know, you get a little creative. Think about just Googling local organizations. Many of the big major organizations have smaller chapters or regional chapters that with events that you can go to. All right. Questions, questions. I don't see any other questions, so I'm going to back up a little bit and let me see. Randy, I have, you had put in that you were doing warm emails primarily on LinkedIn. So I might bring you back in. And I see Dave has joined us since we got talking. So Dave, welcome. Please feel free to type in if you have a question. And Randy, I'm going to unmute you. Are you there?
Yep.
All right. Bring you back there real quick. Tell us a little bit. Just give me a quick snapshot of, you said you're doing warm emails on LinkedIn, and I'd love to just hear what that looks like. What exactly are you doing?
So I did some of what we had just talked about, went out on LinkedIn and looked for marketing directors initially around cause marketing. And then I saw on their connections, looking for anyone in my, I got like over 1200.
Oh, great.
And so yep. I was looking for somebody who was connected to them. And I found several occasions then where I'll send them a warm email, say, you know, catching up with you on our connection and use some personal information about what they've been up to or what I've been up to. And then request, I see you're connected to this person in this company and ask for a referral. It actually got one from an Army friend of mine up in Minnesota who connected me to a marketing director out of Atlanta.
Great.
And so I have a connection there, no work environment, no work inquiry at the moment, but so that happened, but I just need to keep plugging that away and do more of that. I seem, you know, I'm not up to the 170 emails per week yet, like Adrian.
That's okay, you know, a little at a time.
Yeah, so I mean, that was one path I went down.
Good. Good. Okay. Cool. Just wanted to get some insight and see what's working. I think it's, I like to remind people that LinkedIn, using LinkedIn or any kind of social media really is sort of like the marathon as opposed to the sprint. It just, you got to be patient and give it time and just keep, you know, consistently working at it. So good. Well, keep us up to date on how you make out with that moving forward. Feel free to post in the Facebook group. If you make any progress, we'd love to hear about it.
Certainly will. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Randy. Mm-hmm. All right. So Susan W. posted a question. I'm having a struggle with my samples page. I've put a couple of things up, but they went, but when you click on them, they are fuzzy. I'm using Wix, which I really like, very user-friendly. But this is the first real headache I've hit. I was considering moving the samples to Google Docs and doing a hyperlink in that way. Any insights? Susan, I am going to unmute you. Let me find you. Here you are.
Hello.
Hi there. Whoops. Did I, or can you hear me? Can I hear you? Yes.
I can hear you.
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. So tell me a little bit. I use Wix as well, and I do like it too. I mean, there's definitely some things I don't like, but overall, it's just super easy to work with. Tell me the format that you're, what format are you adding the samples to your page?
with?
Well, I had converted them all into JPEGs and then loaded them as if they were a photo. I'd done some screenshots. One was a link for an article that was published in an online magazine. And everything I'm doing still comes up. I've all kinds of different things, changed the pixels and all that to see if I could get it clearer. And I can get it loaded fine, but they come out looking messy and not very clean. So, you know, I'm just not like it. I mean, I'm glad they're there, but, you know, and it's easy to do a link with the article, but then the other pieces are like a resume and biography, and they don't look very, very good.
Crisp, right, right. Have you tried using, saving them as a PDF?
It wouldn't load them as a PDF for me.
So there is a way to do that, because I've done it before myself, and I know that there's a way to do that, and it's fine. You know, it comes out just fine, and it's been a while since I used that, because of the work I do now, I don't have samples on my website right now, but it's over a year since I've had anything like that out there. So, but I know I would go back into Wix if I were you, and I would do a little searching in there, either in their forum or, you know, frequently asked questions, that kind of thing. But I have added, if I remember correctly, you can actually add, so when you're editing your page, if there's a drop-down on there's all the different options of the things you can add on the left-hand side and the left sidebar in Wix. And if you scroll down far enough, it'll actually give you options, and it shows you an icon for, for a PDF.
Okay, I'll double check.
So go and check that, but you can put in like a recording, you can add all different types of things, and I know PDF is one of the options. So I would recommend PDF, it'll serve you much better than trying to do it as a JPEG. Because, it's harder to control how a JPEG looks when it's such a big piece of, such a big document. So try PDF, I think that might help.
All right,
definitely. Yeah, and let us know. Definitely type in the Facebook group and let us know how that works.
Okay, I will.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, moving on. I have a question here from Dave. Dave, I know you joined us a little bit late, but thanks for being here. Any advice for what to do? Oh, you came in 10 minutes too late. Any advice for what to do with your LinkedIn profile if you have a day job? So do you overhaul the profile to fit in the writing business? Anybody have any experience with how to manage this? So, Dave, I had a question that was pre-submitted from John, and I started off our call today by answering it, and it was the exact same question. So I'm going to really just do a very brief revisit of my answer. If you want to hear the whole long story, definitely listen to the recording. The recording will be up by tomorrow. But generally speaking, you don't have to redo the whole thing. If you're in a situation where the company is okay with you doing this, you can kind of merge the two comfortably. So actually, Dave, I'm going to bring you in because I just want to ask you that question. I'm going to unmute you right now. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there.
Me.
So, question for you about this. Is it okay for your present company to see that you're working on something on the side?
Actually, I haven't spoken to anybody just yet. I did have a good look at our policy around code of conduct.
Okay.
And the only thing it really says is, you know, you can't do anything that would be perceived as a conflict of interest.
Correct, or competitive in any way. That makes sense. Yeah,
exactly.
Makes sense. So if the answer to that is, yeah, no problem, which I actually did that for a while back several years ago. I was working in a sales job. I was on the road and doing a lot of driving, but I was also doing this. And my company was actually looking at hiring me when they found out they wanted to hire me to do the writing too and still do the sales. So it was kind of funny. Some companies are really open to that and they're fine. And they loved that I was, you know, entrepreneurial on the side. It was not not at all a conflict, but every company is different. So you want to be very careful, number one. But number two, if they say yes, no problem, then add it as a, another job under your work history. And also make adjust your headline so that it's you're talking about both. And that's your headline. You have 120 characters to play with up there. And that's one of the first things that people see. So you want to be able to put a keyword or two in there. So put your current job title, but then put copywriter and, you know, maybe freelance or some other things that so that when people are searching for you, they can find you. You know, but if they're not open to it, if this is something you discover, okay, they don't, they're frowning on this. They don't, I can't let them know. I would recommend that, leave your profile as is, but still use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool. Go out and look for people like Randy was just talking about, as you know, he goes out and he finds the right people, the people that he wants to be, connecting with. And, definitely use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool to reach out and connect with people, even though it doesn't have anything to do with your day job. It might be just for copywriting, because your company won't be able to see any of that activity.
Right. Right. Okay.
Make sense?
Yep, it does. Thank you.
All right. Good luck with that, Dave.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Let me see. Just taking a quick look. And Susan was just thanking Jennifer for the heads up. So appreciate you guys. Jennifer, thanks so much for all the sharing and the help in the chat today with some of your other ideas for the folks on the call. I'm just going to back up also. If anyone is using anything, we talked today about Google Docs a couple of times and how easy that is. If you would, anybody else using any different tool other than Google Docs or Dropbox, if you would type that in the chat, let us know what you're using and kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down. Is it good? Is it not so good? How's that working for you? And because different companies, what I have found in my experience over the years is that some companies have different ways that they like to share and exchange information. I always recommend something like Google Docs because it's secure and it's, you know, God forbid something happened to me, that client could still access that, that, software and that, the content. So, you know, there's some, definitely some advantages to being able to share those documents, without having to, shuffle them back and forth via email. So, that's just another thought, but, if anybody else is using any other tool, please post it in the chat and let us know how that's worked. And if you have, maybe I'll bring you on and just hear a bit about your experience with that tool. Google Docs, Nanette says that it's okay, but there isn't a spell check or a thesaurus. So that's true. One of the things that I use is, and I'm drawing a blank right now, oh my goodness. I have a tool that I use that is a spell checker, Grammarly. Sorry, took me a minute. So Grammarly is something that I signed up for and that I use. And I can even, let me type it in the chat here so that you can see what it looks like. Oh, Grammarly is an online tool that I use and that I do pay for. It's not super expensive, but it's a pretty cool tool and you can copy and paste content into it and it does a whole bunch of different types of assessment of that document and it'll, and you can rate it and say, okay, it's a blog or it's a this or a that and, you know, what's the style? Is it for business? What's the level of the reader? It really helps you. And one of the things they have is an overlay. They have a Google extension. And I use Google for everything. So when I'm in Google Docs, that extension is activated and it actually reads and spell checks right within Google Docs. So it's very cool. So there's ways to work around that in regards to, you know, that, that lack of spell check or thesaurus. And Grammarly is pretty robust. So it's kind of a cool thing. There's other tools out there that Grammarly is by no means the only one, as you might imagine. So definitely do your homework and poke around to see what might make the most sense for you. But I always find that as a professional writer, It's my job to present something that's as grammatically correct as possible, and Grammarly makes it really easy. The other thing that's really cool about the extension on Google, and you're going to love this because I love it, if I'm posting in Facebook, it corrects my stuff there. If I'm posting on LinkedIn, it corrects my stuff there. It corrects everywhere I type, emails, everything. So, because I also I use Gmail, I use Google Mail for my email interface. Corrects everything I'm looking at. It's very, very cool. So anyway, just a plug for Grammarly, but a cool tool. And as I mentioned, there are others out there that are similar that might be of value to you, that you might find that you like. So Randy says, Pages on Apple allows me to convert to Word docs with good results. I use Grammarly as well and really like it. Yep. Yeah, I do too. The other thing that you can do is export. Once you've typed a document in Google Docs, you can export it to Word and vice versa. So if you've received a document as a Word document, you can upload it to Google Docs. So it works both ways, just so you know, for those of you who are still learning Google Docs. All right. I'm just going to scroll back through and see if there's anything else exciting here that anybody might want to talk about. Any other questions for us today? Anything else that's come up? And I'm going to ask too, in the meantime, what's been most valuable so far as we've been talking? We've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about LinkedIn, talked about Google Docs, lots of different things. Is there anything that stood out for you today that was helpful? All right. Susan W. just made a comment about, I recently became a Mac user and agree entirely with Randy. It's much easier to change formats in Pages as well. And Susan says that the information so far today on LinkedIn has been really helpful. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. And Dave says, I'm just getting started. May have more questions next week. That's okay, Dave. Welcome to the party. I'm hoping that, you know, we really try to make sure that the things that we talk about on these calls are helpful for everyone. So, and oftentimes what happens is that someone brings a question and most likely all of you are struggling with or have struggled with going to be encountering that same type of a question. So I really try to, Ed and I both work hard to make sure that the questions are, we focus them back so that everyone can get some value from the answers. So, good for you, Dave, for getting started here. And anything else of value? Let me see. Randy says, using input to initiate a strategy to penetrate local market connections. Good. Yeah, that is helpful. Sometimes you forget. So, you know, you just don't think of these things or don't realize that a lot of these organizations exist. So just doing a little bit of educating yourself on the type of market that you want to, you know, what kinds of organizations. The other thing to think about is on LinkedIn, most of these organizations have a group on LinkedIn. So you might want to do some searching on LinkedIn for groups that, oh my gosh, there are over 2 million groups on LinkedIn, probably closer to 3 at this point, literally a group for anything and everything. And so what I would recommend is if you haven't played with that, go in and poke around a little bit and see what comes up. Type in, let's say you're focused on landscapers, for example, or real estate agents or something. Type that in and look to see what kinds of things come up, just that landscaping or real estate agents. Put in that really basic phrase in the LinkedIn search bar and see what comes up. There might be some really great leads. Join the group, and then you'll be closer connection with the people that are in that. Might make some turn cold prospect into slightly warmer prospecting by joining a group or two. And you'll be amazed at the kinds of groups that are out there, just tons. All right. So Jennifer says the writing process has been of value to talk about today. Thanks, Jennifer. And then Susan has a question. Are we back to weekly calls or are we still every other week? So good question, Susan. Because of the holidays, we have kind of, you know, shuffled things around just a little bit. And the reason being is that we try to get two calls in a month. And that's so it's typically every other week. But if there's a holiday coming up, like we usually have this call on Thursday, it would have been next Thursday, which in the United States is Thanksgiving Day, and it's a big holiday, and most of you would be busy doing other things. So we switched it to this week. And then because of Ed, both of us are traveling this week. I'm traveling tomorrow. He was traveling today. So we decided to do it on Wednesday. So sometimes we just have to shuffle things around. But the answer to your question, no, we are every other week, pending any holidays or special requirements from the two of us. So, and Kathy says, community, it's nice to hear what the other people in the group know and what they've experienced and recommend. And Kathy, thank you so much for saying that. Actually, I appreciate that. One of the things that Ed and I have talked about, been talking about, is the sense of community here. And it's something that we really want to make sure that you do get value out of each other and out of the conversations that we have either on these calls or in the Facebook group. So I want to encourage all of you to please don't hesitate to post in the Facebook group. Ed and I are checking that daily, and we may not be able to respond the same day, but you know, within a day or so, we're going to get back to you. Don't hesitate to use that. Use that as a resource. It's quick. It's easy. Other people might see your question in the question thread and throw a comment in there and help you out. So don't be afraid to utilize that resource. It's a super valuable resource, and Ed does an amazing job of managing that. It's part of the reason why he brought me in, so that we could make sure that we cover and take really good care of everybody who's in the Facebook group. So don't hesitate to dive in and use that resource. So thanks for that comment, Kathy. That's helpful to know. Super helpful. All right. And Jennifer had another plus one, a valuable plus one on the importance of community. It's been so helpful to me too, trying to get and stay on track. I agree, Jennifer. It's nice to have other people to reach out to. All right. So before we get into takeaways, does anyone have any other questions, any other tools that they want to share? We've talked about a lot of different things today, and I think super helpful. It sounds like, you're getting, and I love that you're getting into, okay, now that I'm getting close to getting a client, how do I handle it? How do I handle that document, moving that information back and forth? So I'm glad that came up. That's a really good question. Probably something that you'll see me posting about in the Facebook group in the coming week or two, because I think that's an important piece of information for everybody who's getting into this, is to know what tools are out there and what some of the best ways are to exchange information with your clients in a safe and effective way. So, all right. If there's any other questions, please post. And if not, what are your top takeaways? And they might be similar to the values, what's been valuable to you, but is there a takeaway that you heard that you thought, I hadn't thought of that, I'm going to implement that myself? So any kind of a takeaway, type in T and let us all know in the chat. All right. Susan says Google Docs for several things. Absolutely. What's really cool too about Google Docs is, as I mentioned, you can create a folder. So I actually set up folders for my clients. So there'll be one folder that I give them access to and that we both share. So within that folder, there can be multiple documents. It's pretty cool. And you can put folders inside of folders, and yeah, so it's pretty neat. Good way to manage projects depending on how complex they are. And I had a question for all of you too. Any other takeaways? I posted an article today in the Facebook group on procrastination, and wondering if anybody had any comments on that. It's an interesting topic, definitely one that I still struggle with. Struggling, what's today, Wednesday? I was struggling earlier this week with procrastination. So just definitely something that I think we all do at times, but just curious to know if anybody saw that and had any thoughts on it. All right. Dave says, take away opportunities, my pop up in areas I may not expect, like my employer being a client. That surprised me too when that happened to me, because I mentioned it to my, actually the gentleman who owned the company is a very small company, and I said, oh yeah, I'm doing some writing on the side. And he's like, tell me about that. And I said, well, I'm, you know, doing, at the time I was writing for small business and doing marketing, social media, blogging, a little bit of everything. He said, we need to talk. He said, keep doing what you're doing, but I want you to help us with our newsletter and things like that. So it's kind of interesting that came to pass. And then I ended up leaving that company. Actually, they laid me off. They, very small company, and they laid off the sales team. There was only two of us, and they let us both off. So that did not continue after that, but it was just interesting. And that's when I got into copywriting and writing full-time after that. So it was a good catalyst to get me started full-time. Jim says, oops, hold on. Jim says, Google Docs and live editing. I'll tell you, the live editing aspect of Google Docs is pretty nifty. To be able to sit there and work together on a document while you're on the phone and see, oh, yeah, yeah, all right, I see. You know, sometimes I coach people in writing their books. That's part of what I do. And so I'll look at something, and I'll come up with an idea, and I'll say, hold on, watch this. Let me type this in and see what you think. And I'll type in a thought into the sentence that they've, or into the paragraph, and they can read it live and go, oh yeah, yeah, you know what, changed this word to that. And it's kind of fun, actually. It's kind of a cool way to edit documents, depending on the kind of relationship or expectation that you have with your client. For me, it works real well. If it's a shorter document, you might not have the need to do that. Dave says, I need Grammarly. Yeah, definitely check it out. And check out some competitive tools as well. And I'm going to look into, I'll definitely put Grammarly in the Facebook group so people know what it is. Oh, that's great. Randy, thought you and Ed were talking directly to me in a personal email regarding the procrastination subject. Oh my goodness. I'm glad. I'm glad that struck a chord with you. Good. Good, good. And Susan W. said she hasn't seen the article yet, but finding that for me, procrastination comes from some kind of fear or self-doubt. I agree. For me, what I shared in the Facebook group is that for me, it was overwhelm. If it's a really big task that I have ahead of me, I will do anything to avoid it. It's amazing. I had a client that I'm working with. I'm ghostwriting her book, and I had to outline it. And I just put it off and put it off and put it off because it felt overwhelming to me. So yeah, it's something that you just have to, and then once I just dove in, I said, you know what, I'm going to tie myself to the chair until I get it done. And once I got started, it was like, oh, this is so bad. And I actually got through it pretty comfortably, but sometimes I let it get bigger in my mind than it really is. So just have to be careful about managing the things that go through your head while you're trying to get your work done. Alrighty. Jennifer says, I haven't been as present on the B2B Launcher and Better Clients Academy Facebook in the past week. I need to get back in more. Absolutely. Absolutely. Use them for support. Randy says, I've started using One Day as a daily journal. Maybe after a year I can turn it into a book. There you go. Great idea. Great idea. Take good notes in that One Day journal, and yes, you will have a book. Excellent. All right. Any other questions? Last call for questions, if you have any, if anything else has kind of sprung up from the takeaways. And if not, then put in a capital A and tell me what you're going to do this week. I know we've got, for many of us, the holiday is coming up next week. It's going to be a short week. And that can throw a monkey wrench in things if you've, you know, it's not a full month of work sometimes for us because we're taking more days off. But and in some cases, if you're off from your full-time job, it might give you more time to work on your copywriting and your freelance business. So any action items that you want to tackle? Just maybe one or two, just one even. something that you want to take action on in the next week. I'd love to hear about it. Awesome. Jennifer says, start sending prospecting emails again, at least one to get unstuck. Great idea. Great idea. One a day. You know, do one a day. That's easy. That's, it should be fairly easy for you. And hopefully that'll just get you kind of back into a rhythm. Dave says, complete the first module of the course. You know, Dave, it's a good module. It's probably one of the most challenging because it's changing the way you think about yourself and the way you talk about yourself and explain what your value is and your positioning. And so definitely join us in the Facebook group if you get into that and you have any questions, don't hesitate because it'll be 2 weeks, I think, again, before we have another call. So if you need help or support on that first module at all, jump on the Facebook group, go to the Q&A thread and post your question in there and Ed and I will dive in and help you out with that. Kathy says, dive into Google Docs tutorials and get myself set up. Good luck. Good luck, good luck with that, yeah. I think you'll find it's very simple. They intentionally make it easy so that more people will use it. Jim says, warm emails and follow-up. Good for you. And Randy says, get back to 15 emails per week to LinkedIn contacts. And remember, too, excuse me, for those of you who are just starting to get more familiar with LinkedIn, there is the training that I did. I think that's in session, it's either session two or three. Session two, there's a separate video that I do, two separate videos about how to use LinkedIn, and it really gives you some good background. But remember that once you become a first level connection with LinkedIn contact, you have access to their email. So you can see their contact information. So it's a good reason to reach out and find the right people and make those connections because then you automatically get access. So if you're a first level connection, you will have access to their email. Kathy says, after being away from it for several months, I think I'll go ahead and go through the modules again. Time for a fresh start. Good for you. I think that's a great idea because what it'll do is it'll just refresh your memory and give you some good ideas about what you should be focusing on now. So great idea. And then Susan W. says, clean up samples page. And then 50-20-50 focus on time prospecting, rough draft of ebook. Absolutely. Definitely make sure that prospecting, and I've said this in calls before, but prospecting is your number one job. Once you get your website up and you're a little further, like Dave, you're a little bit early still in the program. So once you get through module three, session three, you want to really start looking at prospecting. So you don't have to worry about that too much right now because you're still getting yourself organized and just getting into the program. But if you're into module four and beyond, then you should be prospecting. And that should be something that you should be doing every day or at least several times a week. It should be your number one. So always make sure that you fit even 15 minutes of warm emails or making connections, whatever the case may be. 15 minutes a day is better as the best thing that you can do for your business right now. All right. Well, if there's any other action items anyone wants to share. And if not, I think I'm going to wrap the call up a little bit early. We've got a slightly smaller group today, but we've had some great discussion, and I hope that it's been helpful for you. I am going to turn around and follow up with some of these things in the Facebook group in case you didn't take notes or anything like that. So I'm going to share some of these things back in the Facebook group that we talked about today because there's been some really great questions here that I think everyone will benefit from. So, all right. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you very much for participating. It's always great to be able to actually talk with you in person and not electronically. And I wish you all a wonderful holiday next week for those of you celebrating Thanksgiving or any other traditional holiday festivities that you have going on in the next week. Have a wonderful time. Enjoy your families. I hope you all lots of success as we start to wind down the year. Stay focused and keep working, keep doing, picking away every day. And don't let the holidays trip you up too much. Do your best. So best of luck to all of you and look forward to talking with you all again soon.